This is my second time at New Life, but my first time since you've had your wonderful pastor and his family with you. And Joel is a friend. That's the main reason why I'm here. He's a friend, and so we actually have talked more than a year ago about the possibility of my coming to New Life while I was out here with a bunch of faculty members from Reformed Theological Seminary at the Evangelical Theological Society meeting that's being held right downtown in San Diego. So we've been looking forward to this for a long time. Let me direct your attention again to the Word of God as we think on Psalm 19 together this morning. I brought my New American Standard Bible, so I was being able to compare the NASB to the ESV. My text in front of me this morning in my notes is the ESV, but it allowed me to look. The heading that the New American Standard gives to this psalm is the works and the word of the Lord. Good, that's a good outline of the psalm, isn't it? Really, verses 1 to 6 point to the works of God in creation, and then verses 7 to maybe 13 point to the Word of God and the qualities of the Word of God and what the Word of God does, and then you get that wonderful, and it's probably part of this psalm that you had memorized and you didn't even know you had it memorized. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And perhaps you've heard pastors say that after they read scripture or after they preached messages or in the course of prayer. But it is a psalm about the revelation of God's glory in creation and how God's word speaks to our soul. And so I want to look at this psalm with you in those parts today, but especially drawing your attention to three things. I want you to see how God reveals himself to us, to you and to me, in creation, in inspiration, and in incarnation. How God reveals himself to us in creation, in inspiration, and in incarnation. This song, as we just said, speaks about God's two books. God has revealed himself to us in and through two books, the book of nature, the book of creation, the created order, this psalm tells us, preaches God to us. That's what the first sentence of the song says. In the Old King James, the heavens are telling the glory of God. Any of you ever sung Haydn's Creation? That is one of the great choruses in that wonderful piece of music. The heavens are telling the glory of God. Or as the ESV says, the heavens declare the glory of God. And declare is a verb that speaks of what preachers do. Preachers declare the glory of God. They declare the gospel of God when they preach. And so the psalm is saying that God's work in creation, and in the psalm it especially points to the sky and to the sun, that that work of God in creation preaches to us. And it preaches to us of God's glory. But the psalm also points to how God reveals himself in Scripture. Scripture is inscripturated, inspired, special revelation. Now, those are really big words, but they're really simple. Scripture is inscripturated, that is written down, inspired, that is human beings did not come up with this. The Bible is not men reflecting about God. It is God revealing through human beings words that he has breathed out of his mouth. That's what Paul means when he says all scripture is given by inspiration. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Or might be translated, all scripture is God-breathed. It's breathed out of the mouth of God. And I think, by the way, Paul, when he says that, is reflecting exactly on what Jesus said in Matthew 4:4. You remember when Satan tempts Jesus to turn the stones into bread because he knew that Jesus was hungry from fasting for 40 days? What did Jesus say to Satan? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I think Paul, in good, almost German fashion, right? You know, the Germans will take a sentence and make one word out of it, right? That's what they do. I remember going to a city in Germany or Austria, and we were told that the coin that we needed to ride the public transportation with was called the Vorfahrt Kaufscheine, which roughly translated means the coin that you need to ride the public transportation. And the Germans had made it into one word. Well, Paul takes that line, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, and he turns it into one word, God-breathed. That's what scripture is. It's written down, God-breathed, special revelation. That is, in it, God discloses himself to us savingly. This psalm is about God revealing his glory in creation and about revealing himself savingly in his word. So I want us to look at just a couple of things in this passage together. First, let's look at how God reveals himself in the world. We'll look especially at verses 1 to 6, but I want to zero in on verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. That is, God's glory and his wisdom and skill are revealed in creation. The Apostle Paul says that in Romans chapter 1, that when you look at creation, it tells you about the power of God, and it tells you about the nature of God. That is, when you look at creation, you know that God is powerful to make something this big. He is wise to make something this intricate. And he is good to make something this beautiful. I never was good at science. I was a history and English guy, but I always loved science, even though I wasn't good at it. And so I love to listen to scientists who can explain things to ordinary mortals like me who don't understand much about science. So I love to listen to people like Stephen Myers of the Discovery Institute, a wonderful scientist who is a Christian, or to Dr. James Tour, who is an amazing, world-renowned chemist who was an atheist and realized that the chemistry of evolution doesn't work. And so he went around the world speaking to biologists and saying to them, now you tell me that life came from non-life through chemical processes. Explain that chemistry to me. And no biologist that he ever met anywhere around the world could do it. He was a theoretical chemist, and he knew that the chemistry didn't work, and so he's become a Christian. So I love to listen to John Lennox. I could go down a list of people that explain to me this amazing world that we look at. And I even listen to unbelievers. My most recent unbelieving scientist to watch and listen to is Brian Cox. Maybe you've seen some of his videos on the internet. He's British. He was in a rock band before he was a scientist. And he kind of still looks like it. And But he'll come right out and tell you, I don't believe in the existence of God. And then he will describe in clear and beautiful English this amazing universe that we live in. So, for instance, I remember him saying this: when I look at the universe, it looks like a gigantic quantum computer. And then he says very quickly, but I'm not saying that there's a programmer. And I want to go, come on. Come on, that's the whole point, right? You have to be blind not to see that there's a creator. You see, Brian Cox is a lot smarter than me. He's a lot smarter than me. And he knows a lot more than I know about science. But he doesn't see the creator that has made this beautiful world because his eyes are blinded to that reality by sin. And God in his grace has let me see that reality. Calvin used to say that human beings under the power of sin are like blind men at noonday saying, I don't see a sun. Isn't that a graphic picture? The sun is blazing bright and hot at noonday, and they're going, I don't see the sun. That's what sin does to you. And the psalm is saying, God reveals his glory in nature. We see his glory in nature. The scientists tell me that the part of the universe that we can see is 60 billion light years across. That means light would take 60 billion years to go from one end to the other of it, and it's so big we can't see the edges. And yet its complexity and its intricacy look like a quantum computer. Oh, of course, it just is there. No, God's glory is revealed, his power to make something that big, his wisdom to make something that intricate. And we see his nature, his goodness in the beauty of that creation. Are you like me? You love to see the images from the Hubble Space Telescope or the Webb Space Telescope. It's amazing, this world that God has made, and this is my Father's world. And that's how the psalmist starts out. He just says, you can't look at this world and not give glory to God. In other words, he's saying, every time you look at this, and you live in a beautiful part of the world. You live in a really beautiful part of the world. I'm not sending my wife back pictures from San Diego because I do not want her to see what she has missed this week. I'm very tactful when I send pictures back. You know, if I'm in a bombed out industrial city, then I send her pictures back. I'm not sending her pictures of San Diego. You live in a beautiful part of the world. And that beauty does what? It tells God's glory. The psalmist is saying this: God's glory is the most obvious thing in this entire universe. It's the most obvious thing in this entire universe. And then he says, but you know what's really awesome? The Word of God. Now, isn't that good? Yes, this universe displays God's glory in every particle. But this is even better. I won't belabor every point that we can get out of the passage, but if you look at verses 7 to 10 especially, he meditates on how God reveals himself to his people in his word. Listen to his language. The law of the Lord is perfect, and it restores the soul. Have you ever had that experience? where the word of the Lord restores your soul. The instruction of the Lord restores your soul. Even believers can have that experience because we're prone to wander. Lord, we feel it, prone to leave the God we love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it for thy courts above. And so often it's the word of God itself that restores the soul. The testimony of the sure makes wise the simple. I've experienced this as a pastor my whole life. I've simple, godly believers made wise because they believe the testimony of the word. And I tell my students, they're going to be little blue-haired ladies in the back of your church who will make you say, I wish I knew God like she does. Because she believes her Bible. And she knows her God revealed in Scripture. And she's walked with her God a long time. And you're going to think, if I could only have faith like that little old lady. She's been made wise by the Word of God. The precepts of the Lord are right. We live in a world that doesn't know up from down, men from women, and right from wrong. And you open up in this book and you know that's right. That's right. That's right. And what does it make happen? Your heart rejoices. Oh, Lord, thank you. You've cleared the fog. Oh, my heart rejoices. Yes. Black is black. White is white. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. Just rejoice. The clarity is rejoicing. And he goes on to say that this word of God does what? It produces the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the Old Testament way of talking about having a living personal relationship with God. Right? Don't when you hear fear of the Lord, don't think, don't kill me, God. Think, here's how Calvin said it. The fear of the Lord is knowing God your Father and revering Him as your Father as much as you honor Him as your Lord. Isn't that amazing? Not all of us have good earthly fathers. God gave me a really good earthly father. And I can identify, I revered him as my father, and I honored him as my father, but I loved him with every particle of my being. The Word of God is meant to help build that kind of relationship with a living God. And then if you just look down in verses 11 to 13, here's the other thing that it does. The Word of God reveals your sin to you. And what a gift that is. What a gift that is. So many of us, it is a hard thing to be aware of yourself. I mean, really to be self-aware. Usually, the people around us know things about us that we will not admit about ourselves. It does. But the Word of God reveals our sin to us. And that's a gift. That's a gift. Because otherwise we'd be trapped in that sin. Repentance is no fun. But being trapped in sin, there's nothing worse. And the Word of God convicts us of sin, and that's the key to being set free. And so you see what the psalmist is saying? God reveals his glory in creation without speaking a word. But in the scriptures, he speaks his own word into the deepest parts of your soul. But there's one more thing that I want you to remember. And if go ahead and turn in your Bibles to John 1. Because John 1 tells us that the Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things came into being by the Word. By the Word, that world that we've been talking about that displays God's glory was created, and we're told, verse 14, the Word became flesh and we beheld his glory. Oh yes, God has revealed himself in creation. God has revealed himself in inspiration in the scripture, but he has especially revealed himself in the incarnation, the enfleshment of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? The creator that created trillions of stars. By the way, that's one verse in the Bible. You know, you want to know, why do you think God is sovereign? Well, read Genesis 1 where it says he created the sun and moon, and then here's what it says about the stars. And the stars also. Now, if I had created trillions of stars, I would be on a book tour to end all book tours. I would say, let me tell you how I did that. But God can say, and by the way, I created the stars. And yet his glory is even more clearly revealed in his Son, because the God that made trillions of stars became flesh in his Son and lived in our skin. I mean, just take this in for a second. The God that created all of that knows experientially what it's like to be a human. You can never say to him, but you don't know what my life is like. Because he can say, well, I made you. And I lived in this world that you live in as a human. And I know what it's like. And I still love you. And I'll give my Son to forgive you. Now that's glorious. He knows what we're like. And he sends his Son so that we can be saved. Well, did John say, we beheld his glory. The glory of the end. Because there is no glory of God to us sinners like the glory that he forgives our sins when we don't deserve it. Oh, those are good things to think about today, especially as you come here. And your pastor will tell you about that in just a few minutes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your works. And especially, thank you for your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.